Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Today I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the MacArthur Study Bible, Luke 7, verses 11 through 17. Now it happened the day later that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has invited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. May the Lord open your eyes and hearts that we may receive and understand his word.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. This passage from Luke, some scholars believe to be an unattributed reference to First Kings 17 to 24, which actually was in last week's lection. It's this week's lection, I'm sorry, where Elijah is sent to a certain city. God says there's a widow there who will make you lunch, and her son dies or is near death when Elijah gets there, and all he's concerned with is food, and she really doesn't have any. He prays over the boy, and he comes back to life. And scholars believe that this is a retelling of that. The other thing that's interesting about this familiar type of passage is that Luke pairs them together. Last week, the healing story of the centurion's slave, and this one, both out of the same chapter. So as Jesus enters this Galilean village of Nain, he meets the funeral procession and stops it. And as was just read for us, there's an awkward moment, or what could be an awkward moment, and I know I've had them at many memorial services. Jesus says, "Do not weep." Well, how do you not weep when you've lost your only child? How do you not? The most common faux pas, at least in my sense of this, that happens at funerals, we say, "Oh, he's in a better place," or "She's in a better place." No, the better place would be here with us and enjoying, but we do this. But if the crowd thought those words awkward, nothing was stated. And any thoughts they had were quickly dispelled as the young man got up at Jesus' command. Now, whether we believe resurrection stories or not is a personal theological experience. But we know that healing can come and does come. But we also know that not everybody who is up and moving about is fully alive. And that's part of what this text is reminding us. Two chapters forward in chapter 9, under the claims of discipleship, people are telling Jesus they'll follow him wherever he goes. But first they have to go and bury their father. Another one needs to go and tend to a field. And Jesus' comment is pretty straightforward. Let the dead bury the dead. And he's not talking about people who have stopped breathing. He's talking about people who aren't fully alive spiritually. My late great mother had a wonderful phrase when her children weren't moving as fast as she wanted them to. She would look at us and say, "Move as if there is a breath of life within you." And I heard it often and remember it fondly, not as fondly at that time. The point being, sometimes we need to be more alive than we are. Jesus was fully alive and fully engaged, and that's what fascinates us 2,000 years later. We know that tragedy strikes, that death is real. If you've been near a radio, television, or newspaper in the last week, you certainly have seen it. The events at Santa Monica College, I was driving and listening to National Public Radio, and they were covering it as some of it was unfolding. Terribly frightening. The miracle is more people weren't injured because of the random shooting. And we may never know fully why. We try to make sense of these things, especially the loss of life. But there is no sense to be made. It's ironic, and maybe in a twisted way, that as that was happening, Richard Ramirez, the horrendous killer known as the Night Stalker, died that day. And I read the day after a story of his last victim who survived the attack, lost her husband, and her comment was chilling to me. She only wished that he had been executed so she could have been there. You think about that and you want to say, wow, that's tough. That's a horrible thing. But almost three decades later, her pain is still real. What she lost is still real. What Lynn got up and shared is important, and I want to reiterate why it's important. We can focus on the negatives in life, or we can look at the horizon and see that there's hope. And while she gave a lot of detail about the history and development of UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, we are the absolute kings or queens of those abbreviated things, UMCOR, UMW, because we're impatient. We want to get the word out. What's important about the United Methodist Committee on Relief is, as Ken would tell you, we are the last people standing in Katrina. How many years later, Ken? 7 years later. Single greatest builder of homes in the Gulfport region is the United Methodist Church. And that's possible because of the miraculous giving that has taken place. Several years ago, and I don't remember whether it was Andrew or Katrina, there was a call for the buckets, and this church, out of 400, was in the top 10 in giving, of literally giving of those buckets. And we are not, some of you I know have a perspective, oh, we're a large church. No, we're a medium-sized church. There are some smaller, there are some bigger. But the point is, the miracle was in the giving. Every special Sunday, we don't announce this, and that's the onus is on me, but every special Sunday, this church sends an added gift. Because these are second mile gifts, we also contribute to Umcor. We don't do this because they're giving us points or giving us credit in the apportionment giving. It's the other thing that you need to be aware of, if you're not, that this church regularly contributes over 100% to the apportioned giving. And the way apportionment works is, and I don't remember exactly who I'm stealing this from, but it's not an original thought. It's a portion meant for others. And we do this because it is God's claim and call. It's so easy for us to focus on what's negative and what burials, real or wished for, need to happen in our midst. It was significant that Kathy announced, and I had heard just from Ken, that he is going to be part of the emergency response team that goes out and works cleaning up and helping others. We'll send him with a gift because we can, because it is our claim and call. We need to follow Jesus. We don't need to be Jesus, but we need to follow and carry forth that message of hope and healing and resurrection. We need to understand that there are different voices and different gifts and different styles, but we're in this together. That's what it means to be a connection, and that's why Lynn's mini-sermon is important. I don't talk about it because I've lived it for now more than 3 decades. We need to say these things because those miracles are happening in our midst. And maybe I'll even speak for myself. I've become blasé. I know we're going to be one of the first emergency response teams on site. But not everybody knows that. And that's why it's important. Tell and retell that story because it's a powerful spiritual story. The opening tune, I've sung that many times, but it wasn't until this morning that I went back and checked the tune, and it's the same tune is used in Hymn 220, Angels from the Realms of Glory. I know that many of you probably know that. I didn't. And why I think it's important is you have that natural tension between Christmas and Easter. The Jesus in the manger is the man executed on a cross. That natural tension between life and death and life eternal is important for us to understand, not to focus on the death part, but to focus on what it means to follow Jesus in terms of a life of sacrifice, a life of care, a life of hope. It was mentioned the graduation that will be this Thursday in this sanctuary, and I think it's the 14th. My sense is they're the 15th year of the school starts in September. And that, too, has a touch of miracle to it. Those folks who were estranged from St. Michael's All Angels came to us and said a couple of things. I think several people were in my office as they came in and they said, we're estranged from St. Michael's. We've heard that you have space. Won't you give us a chance? And then as an aside, oh, by the way, we're suing St. Michael's All Angels. I have enough lawyers in my family that startled me more than a little bit. And I know they would have said, don't. Bill Roche said, Joey, you tell us to look for miracles. This looks like a hand of God thing. We need to go with it. That's what's possible when you move in faith rather than simply with the facts. Close with a thought. Each of us has our own element in our lives, and it can probably be the same for some of us, different for most of us. Some element that we need to bury, if not literally, figuratively. Bury our fear, to bury our anxiety, to bury our mistrust or disappointment with others not living up to our expectations. Answer that in your own time and space, and then I'd invite you to bury that element, that you might be blessed by the possibility of the touch of Jesus and the hope that comes with that kind of grace. May it ever be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.